principles now shit. So I'll spit from the depths of my soul. This for the powerless, the voice that never gets to be.
All right, we got a great show for you guys today on the IGD cast. This is our second episode. We have an interview with somebody from the Red Warriors camp. They're out there fighting against the Dakota Access Pipeline. So stay tuned. We've got information about how to support them and an in-depth interview. So thanks a lot for listening. So just to start off, can you just give some background to the resistance to the Dakota Access Pipeline? How long has this fight been going on, just for people that don't know? And if it is constructed, how will it affect people's lives that live around the area that people are protesting and occupying right now?
The fight has been silent for over a year and a half. And then back in April, people from the Stone Camp, the Sacred Stone Camp, started the occupation. They started camping and just said, you know what, we're gonna be right here waiting for them to come to us, you know, meaning the oil company and stuff. Within the past month, things have been developing week after week, and then finally in the last 2 weeks, it really took off. They knew this date for people to show up in support, and they came by the hundreds every day. And how it impacts this area, it doesn't just impact the Standing Rock tribe, it impacts every tribe up and down the Missouri River that goes down to the Gulf Coast. But it also impacts non-native communities who are farmers and ranchers, as well as, you know, other populated towns to possibly bigger cities.
Gotcha. Can you talk real quick about the Red Warriors camp and just, like, what is it and what is its goal within the larger context of the mobilization to stop the Dakota Access Pipeline?
The Red Warrior camp consists of many tribal nations along with our non-native allies who stand in defense and who want to protect our land and water rights for humanity. And how we're doing it is through non-violent action. As we strategize what we need to take upon, like I said, our non-violent action against this oil company.
And you mentioned that the number... Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say the camp consists of hundreds of Native people and non-Native people as well.
How has that camp been organized? I saw a couple things coming out today just saying like that it's kind of really coming into its own. It's becoming like its own little community. Can you talk more about it? Like, what's day-to-day operations there at the camp like, and... What's this kind of mix of people that are coming together from all over to stop this? What's that like?
Well, first and foremost, we welcome any land and water protector and defender. And so the Red Warrior Camp is its own community within this structure, this landmass. And what we're doing is we're asking people who have been protectors of the land and water throughout the nation, throughout the world, to come and join forces with us to help us take this stand, to take this defense against this oil company. All of it, though, through non-violent action, you know. Aquasofni released a statement today standing in support of the land, you know, the land protectors and defenders. reside on the upper state of New York, along the southern province of Ontario. So I think that they meant that, you know, that bridge that's kind of up there by, you know, upper state New York, those bridges.
Yeah.
And our daily operations are buying, you know, the groups are coming up with their plan of how to defend. I can't really, you know, go into detail.
Yeah, of course.
What they're doing, but the groups have, like I said, come together with plans of what they need to do to help defend.
Yeah, it's just been so inspiring to see. I mean, one of my favorite videos right now is the people on horseback pushing the police back. It's just really, really amazing to watch. And I'm just curious, what's the response been from the oil company as well as the police? We've heard reports that they've begun to target people with lawsuits, and also the police have been doing roadblocks and, like, documenting people's license plates that have been coming in and out of the area. Can you just kind of speak to that?
Yeah, what they've done as far as policing is that it's a military tactic. They set up a blockade. They set up a blockade south of Mandan, right by the Fort Lincoln State Park. And what they did there is that's a military blocking that you see in, like, you know, the occupation of Iran and Iraq. Where there's a tier system, there's a two-wall system. Now, that in itself, like I said, when you think of it, that, you know, with that military mind, that military thinking, when I spoke with a state official, a state trooper, he said the barricade, the concrete barriers, are for the protection of the protesters.
Hmm.
And I said, oh, okay, you mean land protectors and defenders. And, you know, he kind of looked at me, off guard, but he said it was there for our protection. But then when I mentioned, I said that's military blocking, and he said, you know, I'm not, you know, he said I'm just here, you know, standing at my post. I never came up with a plan. That is between, he said, is, you know, his bosses and government officials. Obviously, government officials, that could be, you know, state along with, you know, military government officials that, you know, can buy up a plan like that. So, but what they do is they're trying to install fear. You know, the sheriff came out with a statement saying, accusing rallygoers that they have pipe bombs, they have weapons, they have this and that. What that is to, they're trying to install fear. And through fear, with their propaganda, they think that they can control the narrative. We control the narrative. And when I say we, I say we through the land and water protectors and defenders and our non-native allies who have banded together.
Can you talk a little bit about the support you've received from other Indigenous tribes in the area? And just, you mentioned people in so-called Canada that have vowed that they will take action as well if anybody's hurt. But can you just talk a little bit about that support?
You know, the biggest that we have support coming from all of the U.S., Canada, Mexico, and Southern America. We actually had some Southern American tribal people that traveled all the way from there, you know, from South America to take a stand with us. They just arrived this afternoon.
Oh, wow.
They introduced themselves. Yep, they introduced introduced themselves. They came to the Red Warrior camp, introduced themselves. And so really, you know, when you look at it, we have people from North and South America taking the stand.
Yeah, that's incredible. For people that are that can't physically be there, either because they live too far away or what have you, what are some ways that people can support this struggle? And if they can come to where you all are at, what should they keep in mind if they are heading out there?
You know, it's really just it's a secluded area. It's not like you know, it's the most desolate area. I mean, you know, you do have Bismarck Mandan, that's just north of the reservation. You have the reservation, you know, that has the casino where, you know, some people are staying, and some people like to just, you know, obviously get a nice good meal at the restaurant, but you can do that as well, you know, up in Bismarck Mandan. But also when you're at the camp, you can eat at the camp as well. You know, they're feeding and, you know, serving, you know, just really in mass quantities, a home-cooked meal. You know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But also, you know, it's camping. It's literally roughing it to the core. I mean, you know, if you like continuing to enjoy, you know, ending it, and stoking your own fire, that is everyday life at the camp. And so for those that are coming to stand in support, we just ask that they bring their enough gear, and if they want to keep the food to themselves, that's fine as well, you know, but we just ask that you come well prepared to encounter hot, cold conditions. Today it rained all day. So, you know, to bring rain gear, you know, just everything that you can think of when you're out there camping. You know, you're going to encounter pretty much everything from A to Z. So, you know, plan accordingly to how long you want to stay. You know, and people can stay as long as they want. I mean, we're in this for the long haul. So if it ends up being months, we're going months.
Is there a way people can like donate online money wise or help support people that have been arrested? I know there's been several folks that have been arrested.
Yes, there have been some people that have been arrested. We with the Red Warrior Camp, I mean, we're literally every day we have people asking what can we do to help support. If we get arrested, we get arrested. And so we have a legal team that has come out with their protection, as you know, as far as their civil rights of those that want to take that action. So we're I believe it's on the Facebook page of how you can donate legal, you know, with legal funds, help with legal funds, because we really do. We have people every day saying it's I want to go. I want to do, if I end up being, you know, put in jail today, I'm be put in, you know, put in jail. And also, you know, with food donations to help with the camp, with the feeding. And then also, I know some people have asked, you know, to help with donating camping gear. And, you know, we had a guy that's coming from Minnesota that said, all I can donate is a huge truckload of split wood. You know, and that is, that's well needed, as, you know, that's needed as well.
Yeah.
So, everything, you know, just follow us on Facebook and see our posts, see what, you know, how people can donate, where to donate. I know that, I believe that if it's not already set up today, there is a site that you can go and donate monetarily for, you know, for food, you know, clothing. You know, we have women and children that are camping, and you know, those are the first things that we take in. first and foremost are the women and children and elders, and then the warriors themselves, and whether they're female or male, they're willing to take on that, you know, that role of, well, you know, I'll come last, and you know, for my need. So
yeah, great. When we get this post together, we'll definitely put on there like the ways that people can donate, and either whether it's to a bail fund or just monetary donations. I'm curious for the in the area where the pipeline is proposed to be constructed, the non-native people, you said there's a lot of ranchers and stuff like that. What is their perception of the pipeline? Do they want to see it, you know, built, or are they opposed to it, or do they just not care?
Well, so that we, there's some people that own land that don't live on the route of this pipeline. They don't physically live there. They own land, you know, possibly from a family member passing on or whatever. Some of them, like yesterday, we found out that on the proposed pipeline map, there's a family that lives on the East Coast. So the deed was left to them, and they're just kind of like, well, we don't know. You know, we need to, you know, does it require that, you know, that they move back to North Dakota to, you know, to have these papers signed or whatever it is. I mean, so we got that through a neighbor of one of the ranchers or the farmers, and one of the guys said that he opposes this pipeline. You know, it's something that he just, you know, he's just like, hey, they're not butting on my territory, my land, but if they did, he said he would fight it. He would take a stand so that they wouldn't, you know, impede on his property. So some people oppose, you know, really oppose it. Some people support it. I mean, possibly due to the fact that, you know, we've heard that the pipeline company has paid people to take their stand. You know, stand with them, and I mean, they're literally, you know, kind of bought. Obviously, you know, they become an instant jackpot winner. You know, when an oil company says we'll give you X amount of dollars, I mean, one, you didn't have to work for it, and two, you know, it's literally like, you know, winning the lotto at whatever price that may be.
Yeah.
You know. So that's very tempting. I mean, I can see that. You know, I can see where somebody's like, hey man, you know, we've been struggling, you know, as a farmer rancher, and that's instant money. You know, that is a very tempting thing, you know, to get you out of the huge debt, or to fulfill your wish list of what, you know, you wanted for many years, but it was so dang hard to achieve. You know, whether it's getting a house or getting vehicles, that becomes readily available through these oil companies who say, hey, we can, you know, we can take that hit just as long as the pipe is laid.
Yeah. And going back to the company itself, the project is a project of Dakota Access Pipeline LLC, which is owned by Enbridge, which is like a massive energy corporation. At least this is as far as I can tell reading online, but do you think that definitely people, if they can't come to the camp, you know, one thing they could do is start holding protests wherever Enbridge has a facility or an office or something like that?
Yes, yes. We ask of that with the support. If you cannot make it here, and you know where this energy company has offices or where they have projects, that you put the pressure on them. We do support that. We ask of that. If you live too far away, but you want to help the cause, then take on that cause as, you know, as resistors in your area to do so. Because right now, what happened a few days ago, Monday night, they lost, their stock dropped.
Yeah.
On the you know, stock exchange. It opened up Tuesday morning with a loss. Now, to a company, an oil company, or energy company, that they don't want to do that. They want to keep making millions of dollars per hour. But when they're opening with millions of dollars lost right from the go, or at closing, you know that leaves a sour taste in their mouth. But And so that they are reminded that they'll get that as much as possible. And I say that with the utmost confidence, not in a cocky way, because we will do what it takes to protect Ben, Grandmother Earth.
I just, real quick, I wanted to read this quote I found really interesting. It was on a story that Unicorn Riot wrote. They said, the Bismarck Tribune reported that the Fort Lincoln State Park, north of the protest area, has been used as a command site by state authorities. That park commemorates the fort where Lieutenant Colonel George Armstrong Custer departed from, heading to his ultimate defeat by Lakota, Northern Cheyenne, and other warriors in 1876. There's just so much there that, just that, you know, the police and all these authorities are basically using the same area that Custer used, over 100 years ago. I mean, do you have any thoughts on this? Just kind of like those overarching connections of colonialism and genocide?
Yeah, well, we obviously know how that ended, right?
Yeah.
And if history wants to repeat itself, we'll know how that ends as well. And that's the current time. So they took a loss then, they can take a loss now.
Awesome, yeah. That's a great response. I mean, today I was just reading that June and July were some of the hottest months on record, I think, of all time. And the situation ecologically right now is, you know, it's so imperative that people are doing with what you all are doing out there. And I don't know, I just thank you for taking this on, and hopefully people can heed the call and we can be a part of pushing people towards that to support this struggle and make it successful and larger. Is there anything else you want to add? Just anything to say at all?
Yeah, I wanted to add on there that I've never seen a federal restraining order on a group or a group of people or a faction. That's never been done before from what I've seen and what I've been trying to research. Now, they do that to the masses that be, who are the Indian people. They didn't do that to rally goers and rioters who took down Ferguson and who took down Baltimore. But yet they did it. They're trying to do it to Native people. That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. And for a federal judge to allow that to happen, really compromises the judicial system for which he or she sits. I just find that the most absurd thing ever in history, in civil history. That people who are not armed, who are taking the nonviolent defense for what is right with the land and water protection rights, why they're doing this, they're being excluded as, really just the most extremist versus those that, you know, the communities that have burned down, you know, Ferguson and burned down Baltimore. You never saw federal restraining orders coming from those big metropolitan areas. But yet, out of an area that Native people want to defend, they target us like we are the worst of the worst. These are still our lands. I mean, but you see where I'm coming from with that. That's the most.
Yeah, I mean, I would just add. I mean, I understand what you're saying. I would just add that. I mean, from my understanding, the Department of Justice, you know, under the Obama administration, has definitely come down on some of the protesters from Ferguson and Baltimore, and there are people doing up to 20 years for basically defending their own neighborhood. And I don't really think those struggles necessarily are so disconnected. But I understand what you're saying, and I think that...
They did that when it all played out at the end.
Sure.
This is the beginning, and yet they're putting a federal restraining order on Jane and John Doe's.
Yeah.
You know, that was not issued during Ferguson. That was not issued during Baltimore. This was issued... And then, you know, the hunky-dory state of North Dakota, who is the only minority group, the majority of the minority group that live and exist in North Dakota are Native people, and they project it on the Native people to say, we're going to issue you a federal restraining order if you become a protester, and if you get arrested. This is what we're going to charge you with. The first charge is you can get bonded out, right? You know?
Yeah.
The second charge, if you get caught at the same area, you will be charged with a felony. Now, that in itself is a ridiculous thing. To protect the lands that are still rightfully ours, and they're trying to speak the narrative that we will be slapped with felonies because we want to protect what is ours. That's ridiculous, you know? That's like somebody telling you, you know, in defense of your family member, your loved ones, saying that, oh, well, guess what, if you do, you know, if you take, the, you know, a stand to protect them, then we'll slap you with this. But then if you come back again and you protect it, we'll slap you with a felony. I mean, who are they that they speak that narrative to you?
Yeah. It's
kind of, modern-day Gestapo thinking, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it just shows you how much they want to pass this thing through and how important that is for them to just continue this flow of petroleum that ultimately is going to make, you know, a select few people rich and, you know, continue to hurtle the rest of us toward oblivion.
Yeah. The other narrative that's not being spoke is this. Bismarck released yesterday morning that, I think it was yesterday morning or today, I was reading the article real quick, and he said that Bismarck officials did not want this pipeline to go across their borderlands north of Bismarck, because if there was a spill, it could have affected people that live in Bismarck, Mandan. So they said, they told the Army Corps of Engineers, and they told this energy company, build it south of us. Well, what is south of Bismarck Mandan? The reservation, the Standing Rock Reservation. So you look at that, and they themselves, up in Bismarck Mandan, do not value the lives of Native people to direct an energy company to say, hey, build it down there, but don't build it up here because it could affect us if it spills. What kind of good neighbor is that? To say, well, if it does spill, go let it affect the Native people. But don't let it affect us. So that's the other narrative that, you know, that needs to be, you know, spoke out there, is that, I mean, that's the truth. You know, that all you have to do is look it up. It's right there. You know, the article is written. So it's like, wow, man, this, the blatant disrespect for Native people is so evident right now.
Yeah, totally. I mean, if you look around also, too, at just all the different pipeline projects, I mean, nobody wants it. Nobody wants a pipeline coming through their, you know, their area, whether it's going to, you know, make their house be pushed out through eminent domain or, you know, maybe affecting one of their watersheds or something. Like, nobody wants it, so, but they want to push it towards, you know, somewhere that they don't care about. In this case, like you said, it's where you and your people are living. So, yeah, it's disgusting. It's really disgusting. But I'm glad you all are challenging that narrative, like you said, and really getting that out. And hopefully people, especially a lot of white people, are going to open their eyes and, you know, join the fight, too.
Yeah, for real. I do. I hope so.
Well, is there anything else you want to say? Anything else you want to go over? What can people expect in the next couple of days and weeks? It sounds like this thing, like you said, is not going to stop. It's only going to intensify, and it's going to be really crazy to see what happens as that stock continues to plummet, if it does, and what the reaction for the police will be, and you know what this company will do.
You know, the biggest thing that the Red Warrior Camp is doing is coming up with a contingency of plans to still take the fence and still take a stance. I can't speak for every one of them, but I will put it out there that with confidence that we are progressing forward with our stance of protection and defense. And how that plays out within tonight and how it plays out tomorrow, again, I can't speak for the community members right now as they come up with their plans. I don't think it's in my right place to prematurely give anything out while, you know, as right now as we're speaking, they're meeting. They've been meeting for a couple hours now, so.
Yeah, totally. We'll continue to, you know, do everything we can to report on this this struggle. And again, it's just really inspiring to see all this happening. I remember when this was announced a couple months ago and just seeing this whole thing progress. And, you know, also watching what's been happening in so-called Canada with the Unistoten camp and the Mi'kmaq communities fighting fracking and resource extraction there. It's great to see, you know, in what they call the United States, people doing that too. And hopefully everybody can pick a piece of this struggle and take it on and really defeat Enbridge and stop this pipeline from coming through. Okay, great. Thanks a lot for joining us. And again, check out Red Warriors Camp on Facebook. There's also a Twitter feed. I think it's Sacred Stone Camp on Twitter that you can check out. And there's a couple other social media platforms. And we'll include on this podcast all of the links to how to donate money and how to get involved. So thanks again for joining us. And good luck to you all out there.
Well, good luck. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, thanks for staying with us, and thanks for listening to that really important podcast. Again, if you want to learn more information, you can go on Twitter, at Sacred Stone Camp, all one word. Again, that's at Sacred Stone Camp on Twitter. If you want to know what's going on with the resistance to the Dakota Access Pipeline on Facebook, go to facebook.com/Red Warrior Camp, or you can search for that keyword. Again, that's Red Warrior Camp. If you want to find out how to put some money towards these people and get them the funds that they need to continue to do what they're doing, go to gofundme.com/sacredstonecamp, or you can search that. Again, that's gofundme.com/sacredstonecamp. And also, we want to give a big shout out to our friends at Unicorn Riot. They've been doing continuous coverage almost every day. They've been sending out reports and doing videos. You can look up them at unicornriot.ninja or follow them on Twitter at yourninja. That's UR_ninja. So check them out. They've been doing regular reports. Thanks again for listening. This has been the second IGD cast of It's Going Down. You can find out more about us at itsgoingdown.org or IGD_news on Twitter and on Facebook. You can find us at IGD News. Thanks a lot for listening, and check us out online.
Our mother aches, iron claws dig until she breaks, and we bleed for less. How much is enough? I remember listening to songs of the sun for all those whose breath was stolen, whose lives were taken away, who learned too late. And now we sing again to the house of the dawn. There are no words. can right this wrong. And all this land is paid. Now nothing grows that doesn't carry the trauma that we weep, that you sow. Now we sing again to the house of the dawn. Now there are no words that can right this wrong. Power of blood and bones, of poison stolen homes, of genocide mutilated ghosts, fierce hearts lay buried. Their struggle hearts lay buried, say and leave it on the ground, leave it on the ground, leave it on the ground, say and leave it on the ground. Tell me what has been done. And now the Wellesley poison. Tell me what has been done. And now the cancer spread. Tell me what has been done to right this wrong. Now we sing again to the house of the dawn. Now there are no words.